Welcome to Cornerstone Church Online Sermons. We're so glad to be able to spend a few moments with you. This week, Pastor Barry shares a message entitled, Watch Your Mouth, Guard Your Heart. As we continue our series in the book of James, we begin today at James chapter 3 and verse 1.
We've been walking through the book of James. When I came back from an extended break, I really felt that it was important to spend time in this season, and we may yet change it up for December. We're going to have a series of Christmas messages and beyond into the new year. But for right now, when I came back, I felt like I wanted to walk through a book of the Bible and prayed about it and thought and read numerous of them and thought that James was just a really good fit. And so we have gone through the first chapter and the second chapter of the book of James, and now we're approaching chapter 3, verse 1. But James talks to us, and I'll give just a little bit of a recap of the last few weeks. James talks to us about marks of maturity, about Christians needing to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk. And he talks to us about areas of maturity in our lives. I'm sure that you would be like me. I don't want to just grow older. I want to mature. In my relationship with the Lord, I don't want to just grow older. I want to grow up and continue to grow as a Christian. And so James talks to us about growing as a Christian. He talks about when we're in a trial for a while, when trials extend, and the patience that's needed in that, the patience that's produced in that. And in fact, it brings us to a place of maturity. He talks about in those moments, ask God for wisdom, and God will give you wisdom in the midst of trials and struggles. Aren't you glad that we have somewhere we can turn when we don't know what to do? We don't know, when we're confused, when we're distressed, we can turn to the Lord, and He will supply liberally when we need wisdom, and He grants us that. He does tell us, James, beware, money's not the answer, that whether you have a lot or a little, it's all temporary, that the rich will even fade and perish like the flowers. He will talk to us in chapter 1 about being slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. He'll talk about not just speaking, but doing. Not just hearing, but doing. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers. It's not just that we need to know more stuff. We need to do and follow through. He talks about not showing favoritism. And last week, we talked about our faith, that if someone says, and they just declare that they have faith, that doesn't do a whole lot. It needs to be a faith that comes from a believing heart, and then that produces works. And that's where he brings us to. He's going to talk more about our words now. This is one of the most difficult things to put into practice, I think, in our Christian life. It's one of the most difficult things that James is going to talk to us about. It's about guarding our mouths, guarding our hearts. It's watching our mouths and guarding our hearts. I get myself in so much trouble with my words. And I think just when I get to a place where I think, boy, I haven't messed up with my words for a while. There it is. Right then. Just I say something, and quite often it's an attempt at humor. You know there are lines you shouldn't cross? I am so gifted at discovering those lines after I've crossed them. We're going to read through the first 12 verses, and then we'll go back and I'll just share a little bit what I saw, and I trust the Lord will show you some things too as we read. But verse 1 through 12 of James, God help us, I pray you'd speak to us now. James writes, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Verse 4 says, look also at ships. They're so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire the whole course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, of creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. James begins way back at verse 1. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Teachers have such a small place. Take this morning, for example, if I'm teaching God's word, it's just me. It's just one individual among so many. I'm little. We number the people. I'm just one. It's just little. But teachers can have such big influence. One person in a crowd or a congregation of people can have much influence. And James says, be careful. Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we, and he includes in there, there's this declaration of let not many of you, but we shall receive a stricter judgment. This verse, the word stricter, the Greek word is spelled M-E-G-A-S. You know what megas means? Big, huge. Large, grand, shall receive a stricter and judgment. Now, there's differences of that word judgment. Sometimes it's to discern between this and that. That's not what this is. This word has to do with a sentence being passed by a judge. It says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a great, big, grand judgment. Sentence. It says, for we all stumble in many things. I'd like to say we stumble in many things because there's so many of us. I think I just stumble in so many things. we can stumble. It just means you get tripped up. It doesn't mean you're intentionally walking in sin. You're walking in a direction. You're walking in a path. We can just stumble. We can get tripped up in many things. He says this, if anyone does not get tripped up or does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. It's able to restrain. And he's going to give us some illustration of what that looks like. Able to control, to turn, and to restrain. To keep, it means to keep in check. And here it is. If you can just bridle your tongue, your mouth. Man, it's like, if you can do that, you can do anything. If you're able to do this, there's a maturity of your life. You can look after anything, control your whole body. It says it, verse 3, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. I think it's interesting as he's talking about the body, the bridle, the bit, turning the body. He started off by talking about teachers. And how careful teachers need to be because they can turn the whole body of Christ. So I have to be really careful. Be careful how you hear. There are so many preachers, the internet, on and on. We need to know those who labor among us. We need to have ears to hear. We have to be careful how we hear. Here this morning, Brian will often talk about the Bereans who received the word of God with joy, but then went home and searched the scriptures to make sure that it was true. And the Issachar Bible study has restarted already last night, and it's next Saturday as well. I want to be a part of that. Look at what it continues to say. Verse 4, look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Wherever the pilot desires. There's a shift that James talks about, because like a rudder, and like a bit, and like a tongue, none of those are the pilot. He's talking about the influence, even of a teacher, the influence that something so small has on something so big. But the issue is, who's controlling? The horse, the ship, or the tongue? Wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue. And if you leave the sermon anytime before I'm finished, just make sure you get that point about the pilots. Who is the pilot of your tongue? Who's the pilot of your life? Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. It only takes a spark to start a fire burning. Verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that defiles our whole body, and it sets on fire the whole course of nature and is set on fire by hell. It's a difficult verse. It defiles the whole body. That defiling, it has to do with makes a spot or a stain that's noticeable. I had lunch with a guy this week. He looks after Kareth Creek Retreat Center in Bragg Creek. It's focused on the family. Has a retreat center specifically for marriages. And I met with my friend Marshall for lunch, and as we were eating, oh, I shouldn't have told you who it was, I suppose, because I'm going to tell you that he spilled on himself. It was just this one little flake. And before I had a chance to talk about it, because he was talking and talking, a friend will always tell you. If we're ever out for lunch, please tell me if I've got something on my face or something. But it was like all I could see was this piece of Tony Roma's rib hanging off his shirt. It was like the whole thing, Marshall. Your whole outfit. It's the tongue talks about, it says, the tongue set among our members defiles. There's a spot noticeable among the whole body, and it sets on fire the whole course of nature. That word nature, you'll recognize it when I tell you the word. That word nature, sometimes it comes across as the word existence, but the word is this, Genesis. Genesis, it affects the source. It's a source moment. It's a Genesis moment. The words that we speak, the tongue that we use, the words that we speak, that moment can set a fire ablaze. With one word, can set a fire ablaze. It's this Genesis, it's this source moment begins such things. And is set on fire by hell. This is the only time, 12 times we find this word hell written here, Gehenna. We find it in the New Testament, 12 times. 11 times it's spoken by Jesus. Each time Jesus speaks about it, he talks about being careful, about not being cast into hell. 11 times it's in the context of being cast into hell. One time James uses it, and it's right here. And it's not about going into hell, it's something that comes out of hell. It's not a destination. Instead, there's an origin from it. So how careful we need to be of the hellish things that we can speak that cause such damage. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. We know that. And then in verse 8 he says, but no man can tame the tongue. We can do a lot of things. We've got a little Bichon Shih Tzu dog that will sit down and lay down and shake a paw and all the things. Maybe you're not afraid of we've really tamed this little dog, such power. There's every kind of animal can be tamed, he says, but man cannot tame. We cannot tame our tongue. It is impossible. It says in verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. That verse, there's a connection with that word taming. You'll appreciate perhaps this picture. It's the same word where they tried to tame the man in the tombs, the man who was filled with a legion of demons, the demoniac, filled with demons. They tried to tame him, chain him, captive him, and they couldn't. He would break free. It's that same word. It's that same picture. We are ineffective in being able to tame our tongue. We can't do it. Just when you wrap it up and you think you got it covered, boom, breaks out. Something unkind, something sharp, something harsh. Audrey and I were driving out of our, she was driving, we were driving out of our driveway yesterday, and as we came out, the car, the front of the car off the, we won't have an apron on our driveway, it's just the curb, came down and bang, hit the ground. I don't remember what I said, I just remember what you said. What she said was, do you want to rephrase that? And I really can't at this moment remember what I said, but there it was. I rephrased it in a way that wasn't any more gracious. It was like, do you understand that was your fault? It's never happened before. But so quick it comes out. Yesterday, we were on the way to the church. She was working in the corner store with Sandra. I was coming here to get some things done on the way to church. And out it comes. No man can tame the tongue. There are things we can do. We can look after the animals, but we can't tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. It means venom and corrosion. It's not just the amount of poison. It's like a little dab will do you. The corrosion, it over time, an ill-fitting word can corrode. And boy, I don't know about you, but for me, somebody can say something that's unkind, or I take it, or I hear it as an unkind word, and that can corrode. That can just grow and grow and grow until I deal with that. And then James says this, verse 9. With it, with our tongue, we bless God, bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made, and he adds this phrase, who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. With it, this is how we use our tongue. We bless God, and then we curse others. We say unkind and hurtful and deadly things to others. But he says, who are made in the image of God, remember who you're speaking to. Remember their value. Remember whose image they are created. Be careful with your words, because people are of such value. The ransom or the redemption of a soul is costly. God loves people more than anything. Be careful. Remember who you're speaking to, made in the image of God. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. But he's writing this because they are. Look what happens. And he said, this isn't the way that it should be. These things ought not to be so. In the last couple of verses, he gives an illustration not out of the animal kingdom, but out of even the creation. Just in nature, verse 10. Goes on, verse 11. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevines bear fruits? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. He says to us, loved ones, it's inconsistently unnatural. For out of the same source for two things, the salt water, to come up with fresh water. It doesn't happen in nature, and it shouldn't happen with our spiritual nature. James writes to us and says, your words have influence, so be careful. Your words have power. The power of death and life is in the tongue. Scripture tells us that, and it tells us it in that order, because I think it's so easy to speak death. The power of death and life is in the tongue, so be careful. Those who have public influence will be mega judged. So be very careful. He says to us, you cannot tame your tongue yourself. It can't be done. No one can tame the tongue. But rather, he points us to it. I love the phrase that he uses about the pilot with the rudder, or the horse's mouth, the bit. We need Jesus to help us with this. We need Jesus to help us with this, to guard our hearts and guard our mouths. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God, my strength and my Redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. When I try and only focus on my words, I fail. Because my words aren't the only problem. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. I don't know much about mechanics, about cars and how they work, all the things. But any time that I have seen a vehicle driving down the road and there is black smoke pouring out of the tailpipe, I never think they need a new tailpipe. I know enough to know the problem is not the exhaust pipe. There's a problem under the hood. It has to do with the oil mixture. The oil's getting somewhere it shouldn't. The different things that take place. The problem is not just needs a new tailpipe and that'll fix it. And sometimes I think that about my words. I've got to go to the source. And so that's why James says to us, remember about people that they're made in the image of God. And so be careful with your words. Proverbs 4:23 will tell us, guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of there flow the issues or the springs of life. Loved ones, we need Jesus, and we need Jesus to touch our hearts. I think that there is a discipline we need to be careful with our words. It's not just all about our hearts. We need to wrestle through with our language, what we say and how we say it, and careful with our words, and learn and grow. And Eve, who works in the office here, a dear friend, she talks about the number of times where her mouth has staple marks. It's just that, don't say anything. There is that discipline to do that very thing. But the answer isn't just a stapler, it's a heart change. So this morning, as James speaks to us about a maturity, no one gets a pass on this. Well, you don't know my situation. Yeah, you're right. I don't. We don't get a pass on that. Whatever it is, we have to guard our words. People are listening. How did God create? Let there be, and there was. He spoke the worlds into existence. Power in the spoken word. Creative word. And James is saying to us, when we speak, if we're allowing an origin of hellish words to come out, the damage it can do, it just is so far reaching. We think it's no big deal, it's just a spark. And we see a forest is set ablaze. God, help us to honor Him with our words. May our words be filled with praise and adoration of the King. You know what looks good on you? Sometimes people will talk in such a way, and we think, man, that's not becoming. Scripture tells us what looks good on us is praise. It says, praise is comely or becoming of the upright. May we be a people who have the high praises of God on our lips and a two-edged sword in our hand, but may we guard our hearts and watch our words, that we may be mature and complete. If we can guard our words, he said, we can look after everything. We can control anything. God, Help us control our words and our mouths. Here in this place and from this place. Let's go ahead and pray. Oh God, I come to you this morning, not as a failure, but as one who fails. Who fails time and time and time again with my words. Dear ones, maybe you can relate to what I just prayed. And if you can, would you acknowledge that just to the Lord? You are not a failure. Not a failure. But there are times where we fail with our words, where we stumble, where we get tripped up. So many times in so many ways, James says, we all do this. Lord, I acknowledge this before my friends here and before you. Lord, thank you that when we confess both our sin and our need of you, you are right there. You don't expose us to bring condemnation, but you expose areas in our lives that we might repent, that we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed, that we might be healed and set free. So God, we bring to you this morning our mouths, our words. Jesus, I ask that you would be the pilot of our ship. That you would be the rider who puts the bit in our mouths. Jesus, that you would touch our tongues. I think of the prophet who had the vision where the angel came and touched his lips with the coal. Said, you're cleansed. You declared holy. Lord, we can't do that in and of ourselves. We ask you, O God, to touch our lips today. The coal from your altar, that you, O Lord, would cleanse us. God, we receive your cleansing and your forgiveness for words that we have spoken that have done damage, that have been unbecoming, for a language, for a vocabulary that doesn't fit, that is ill-fitting to a believer. God, we ask you today to touch us and change us. God, for those of us who just habitually speak in a way that doesn't honor you, God, would you change us? Would there be a transformation right now? God, I pray for those of us just like me. I was so quick with Audrey. The car barely hit the curb and the words were out. God, I pray you'd help us to not react like that. Not be quick to speak. God, whatever's wrong in my heart where things like that would come out, I pray you would remove that. Remove that for all of us. Your word says that you'll take a heart of stone out, you replace it with a heart of flesh. You place your spirit within us. A transforming encounter, I pray, oh God. That you would just soften our hearts. Wherever there's harshness that comes out in our words, God, there's a hardness in our heart. We pray you would change that. God, I pray that you would still give us courage and strength and boldness to say what needs to be said. Just like when the disciples were held on trial, then afterwards they prayed and they spoke the word of God with boldness. God, I pray not just for a timidity, for somehow a weakness to not say it like we need to say it, but God, help us to have a clear voice that represents you well. God, help us to take a stand for the things we need to speak up about. God, help us to give us a voice for those who can't speak up for themselves. God, may we be those people who have a loud and a clear voice. But God, may it honor you in all that we say. God, guard our hearts, keep us, transform us. May we be a people of praise. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us online today. If you're in the Calgary area, we would love to get to know you and discover how you can become a part of Cornerstone Church. Our Sunday morning service starts at 9:45 a.m. Please feel welcome to come and join us this Sunday as we follow Jesus together.